Jesse was going through about the Bible, and our brother Ken was going over the what we believe as in our doctrinal statement. Brother Ken was doing that. And I want to go over about what some other people believe and what we don't believe. We don't believe that. We had a man come to church here one time that was a Calvinist. We probably had a bunch of them come here. And we're not Calvinists. And we're not Calvinists because John Calvin was around 1500s. And John Calvin, there was a teaching, and I believe it's straight out of hell. But it was a convenient thing for a lot of people to believe that Calvinism, and John Calvin taught that God sent so many people to hell whether they like it or not, and he also taught people going to be saved whether they like it or not. So that leaves out personal accountability, leaves out personal responsibility. So if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved, you know. And what happens to a lot of churches today, they have adopted that John Calvin's philosophy, or that's what you could say. It's a philosophy, and they have adopted that, and they start teaching that. And you got the Presbyterian churches that believe that. You got Baptists even going that way, that they believe in the Calvinism, and they teach that. And you got, you know, a lot of the Methodist churches, Episcopalians, and all of them. That's why you don't see people out passing out tracts and being evangelistic. The Bible tells a pastor he should do the work of an evangelist. And that, what do you mean? Going out trying to win people to Christ and trying to disciple people, giving out tracts. Whenever I give these out, and if I got a minute, I'll say to the person, have you ever seen one like that? Have you ever seen that? And I was at Burger King, I think it was, the other day, and I said to a girl, I gave her one. I said, have you ever seen that? She said, yeah, somebody else gave me one. And that blessed my heart to hear other people are giving them out. I've asked people, every time I go somewhere, I say, give them out. I say, have you ever seen one of them? And they most of the time they'll say, no, I've never seen that. And I give it to them, and I tell them about they need to get saved, and the Bible tell you how to, in that track, I tell you how to get saved. And I was dealing with Dave's boss the other day, and I asked you to pray for him. He's the owner. His name is Pat Davison. And I went in his office and I asked him, I said, how you doing physically? You know, I went in and I asked him, how's his health? And he told me he was in the hospital and he was telling me some things. And I said, he's almost died. And I said, can I shut the door? And he said, yeah. And I shut the door. And I said, Pat, where would you go if you died? And he said this. He said, well, I'm a good person. He said, I help people. I said, I know you do. You're a good man. I said, it'd be terrible for a good man to die and go to hell. And Jack worked for him, too. Jack worked for him. He knows, Pat. Good guy. Do anything in the world to help you. So he showed me that he has a drain tube in his stomach. So I'm telling you this. I'm just saying pray for the guy to get saved, be a blessing. But anyway, I witnessed to him real good. And told him, I said, look, man, I quoted scripture to him. I said, look, the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I went through the whole thing. And you could see conviction all over him. It was all over him. And I said, would you like to get saved right? He grabbed my hand. We was holding hands. I said, would you like to get saved right now? Looking him in the eye. And he had a tract in his hand. And he says, well, can I read this first and then give me some time? And I said, the Bible says now is accepted time. The day is the day of salvation, right now, when you know. So I'm going through that, and I said, well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not trying to push for a decision right now. But I'm telling you, the devil's got a hook in your mouth. And what he's trying to do is trying to reel you in and make you think that you're a good person, you know that. And I said, which you are, but that's not going to get you to heaven. And I said, if being a good person, you know, if it wouldn't have been no sense Jesus dying if you could be good to get to heaven. Made sense to him. And we prayed. And I said, Pat, will you do me a favor? I'm going to go back and see him this week. Y'all pray. I said, Pat, if you get saved, will you tell me? He said, I promise. I said, good, good. Now, you know, people that are Calvinists don't go out soul winning like that. They don't go after people. They don't try to witness to people. It really bothered me. I went to the hospital the other day to see an old man. Mrs. Rowe asked me to go see these two people. I went in. And what bothered me was this old man's heard the gospel all his life. And man, tore me up. All his eyes looking at me. And I'm talking to him. And all he could do was go, man, this guy's had opportunity after opportunity to get saved. And Mrs. Rowe told me she's witness to him and people's witness to him. And all he could do is look at me, eyes, and just groan. And I told him, I said, Mr. Eberly, why don't you bow your head right now and ask Jesus to save you? He closed his eyes. He held my hand. I don't know if he got saved or not, but right after I left, he died. Tore me up. Man, just get in. Now, in Calvinism, they said, well, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If he's saved, he'll go to heaven. You know, if he is the chosen one, the elect. Now, they taught a thing called TULIP. And it's, you all write this down if you want. And we've gone through this before, but I'm going to give you some scripture on this thing. TULIP. Total depravity. That's not the T of it. Total depravity. And what they teach is the total inability or total depravity, unable to get saved unless the Holy Ghost wants you to be saved. Now, the Bible says this, God's not willing that any should perish. The lack of the ability or lack of power, capable or means depraved. Now, we believe in people that are depraved. We know that. I mean, we're born depraved. We're born that way. And we're born totally depraved in that sense. We need to be redeemed. But see, these churches teach TULIP, that total depravity, that they have no ability to get saved. They have no ability at all. If only if God willed it, and only if, you know. So, but I'm going to give you some scripture. Take your Bible, look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles 29. And look at this. This is Old Testament. And we're going to go all the way through to the New Testament. 1 Chronicles 29. There's so much scripture on this. And 1 Chronicles 29, the Bible talks about willing. God says, if a man's willing. And you know, what he teaches that, you know, a man is so depraved, he can't get saved on his own. It's got to be God's will for him to be saved, or he's going to go to hell. But if a person's willing, the Bible talks about having a willing heart and a willing spirit. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and look at verse 9. 1 Chronicles 29:9. And it says, and the people rejoice for that they offered willingly, because with a perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with a great joy. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, O Lord God of Israel, our Father, or over forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come to thee of thee, and thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, O Lord, our God, he says, all this store that we have prepared, we to build thee a house for thine holy name, cometh of thee, of thine hand, and all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts, and hast pleasure in uprightness. For as for me, in the uprightness of thine heart, mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, that we are present here to offer willingly unto thee. And see what Calvin doesn't, he leaves out that man has a free will. We believe that man has a free will. You can do whatever you want. And look in Acts chapter 10. Look in Acts 10, New Testament. Acts chapter 10, this is Cornelius. Acts 10, here's a Gentile dog. And Genesis chapter, I mean, Acts chapter 10, and look at verse 2. Look at verse 1. There was a certain man of Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. He was in the Roman army. He was a Roman plus, but he was in the Italian band and the centurion. He's a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Look on down, it says, and he saw in a vision, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him, into him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodged there with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel spake, see, on Calvin's system, he didn't have to do nothing. In Calvin's system, a guy doesn't have to do nothing. He's saved. I mean, he's going to heaven, he's going to heaven. And, you know, there is no, and you're going to go to hell whether you like it or not. You can repent all you want, and you're still going to go to hell, according to Calvin, what Calvin believed. And it says in verse 7, And when the angels that spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up from the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending onto him, as it had been a great sheet knitted at four corners, and it let down to the earth, wherein were all manners of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, said, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. After that, Peter ends up eating ham sandwiches. And he gets rebuked because he kept telling the Jews they need to abide by the law and do all the things, and Paul had to straighten him out while he's eating his ham sandwich. And because the Jews weren't allowed to eat any pork. They weren't allowed. That was against the law. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call thou not common. Call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Notice when God's revealing something, it's done three times. He did that with Simon Peter three times. You love me? You love me? You love me? He'll do it three times. And while Peter doubted in himself what the vision he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the vision, God didn't give him hardly no time to think about it, not hardly any time. You're going to react, he says, and then Bible says, when Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God, and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by his holy angels to send for thee into the house and to hear words of thee. And then called he on them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come on the one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto thee without gainsaying. And as soon as I was entered, I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until the this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man, that's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, stood before me in bright clothing, said, Cornelius, thy prayers is heard. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose name is Peter, surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the sea side, who when he had come shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, that thou hast well done, that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. He got it. He got it. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteous is accepted with him. The word which God sent on the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that he is Lord of all, that word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and before be again from Galilee after the baptism of John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Now to all people, on the witnesses chosen before God, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him gave give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. And then it says, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they all of the circumcision which believed were astonished. The circumcision, a bunch of Jews standing there, and they're watching these Gentiles. These are Roman soldiers in there. And here's a bunch of Jews that followed Peter, and that Peter met with Jesus. And the Lord showed him, and here they are standing there in this guy's house, and they're watching these Gentiles, a bunch of Romans. They didn't like the Romans. The Romans wanted to put Jesus Christ to death. And they're watching these Roman soldiers and these people, and the Bible says, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they heard them speak with tongues. Now, this is the one time that Gentiles are speaking with tongues. Why? It was a sign. Tongues are for a sign. It was a sign to the Jews that were there that God was there. And see, God was no respecter of persons, showing them that, you know, and John Calvin taught only the very elect. Nobody could hear the word of God and get saved. They're already saved. If they're elect, they're born saved. That's what he taught. And they heard them speak with tongues. They magnified God and then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to be tarry that many certain days. See, John Calvin didn't believe that. He didn't believe a person could have a free will and seek God. He didn't believe that. So he taught a bunch of stuff that's not right. And he taught this tulip thing, teaching total depravity. Man has no ability in himself to get saved. But the Bible tells us we have a free will. You have a free will. Let's go to John chapter 1, verse 9. John 1, 9. Look at John 1. Back in the Gospel of John. John 1, 9. We'll start at verse 1. We'll start there. It's so good. I like to read it all, but my eyes are fogging up because I'm getting all teary-eyed. I can't hardly see. In the beginning was the Word, capital W-O-R-D. Jesus Christ is the Word. That's why it's important about His Word. You better honor His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's Jesus Christ. All things were made by Him, and without Him was anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness. That's what we're here for, is a witness. You want to know what you're supposed to be doing? Witnessing. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. I'm going to tell you something. If you're not shining for him, if you're not shining for Jesus Christ, there's no reason for your existence. You're supposed to be shining for him. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which shineth, that which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Notice that, every man. Every man. Everybody born. You know, the Bible says God's given every man a measure of faith. Everybody in this room has got a measure of faith. It's up to you to build up your most holy faith. That measure of faith is to get saved. Every person in this world has a measure of faith to come to Jesus Christ. And then, on top of that, after you're saved, God's given you the faith and the grace through His Word to be able to grow, and that you might be able to pass it to somebody else. What we're supposed to be doing is, once we're growing, we're supposed to be passing it down, passing it down, passing it down, passing it out. It's like Jesus sat at the Last Supper. He took the bread and He broke it and passed it out. When He fed the 5,000, He passed it out. And when He fed the 4,000, He passed it out. We're supposed to be passing it out, putting it out. And what happens is people don't do it. Christians don't witness. They don't live. They say, well, I don't want to. Don't look at me. Don't look at my life. Well, they are looking at you. They are looking at. They're looking at us. They're looking at us the way we live. And John Calvin taught, well, like I said, I had this guy. Had a guy come to church here, and I said, he came up to me. He says, I'll join this church if you'll let me teach. I said, no. I said, be a cold day in Hades before I let you teach. And he said, well, I got IQ, you know. He started telling me there was errors in the Bible. And he started telling me, I laughed at him. I said, you have an IQ of 170? He goes, yes. I said, well, you're the stupidest man I ever met. And he started telling me there was errors in the Bible. But also he taught, I asked him right standing right here, I said, when did you get saved? You know what he said? I got saved when God willed it. I said, well, okay, then when was that? He said, I don't rightly know. I said, you don't know. You don't know when God willed it. He goes, I might have been when I was born. I said, that's crazy, man. You know what that does? That blames. So if you die and go to hell, you blame God. You didn't choose me. You didn't choose me. Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. That's 1 Peter. 1 Peter, God's not willing that any should perish. So you can blame God for your mess up. Go to, let's see. Look at verse 9 here. He says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not, the Jews. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. We beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God's given every man a light. He's given every man a measure of faith. He's given every man opportunity to get saved. Is every man going to be saved? No. Is man depraved? Yes, he is. But he has a free will to be able to come to God and say, Lord, I know I deserve to go to hell. I think about how many times my brother witnessed to me and told me about Jesus Christ. I mocked him, made fun of him. and all that stuff, and stabbed my brother twice, not wanting to hear about God. And then, man, when my brother got killed, I went outside and said, God, you up there, I want to know. And that, you know, 2 years later is when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Go to Isaiah 55. Go to Isaiah. When people try to tell me the Bible's a lie, God ain't real, and I don't feel nothing, I tell you what, I say, I don't know who you're talking to, but I'm talking to a real alive God, my Savior. I know He answers my prayers. I know He's real. And, you know, if that was true, then this whole Bible was a lie. If Calvin's theory is true, then the Bible's a lie. And I know it's not true. Because, like I said, we're going to look at 1 Peter when it says God's not willing that any should perish. Look at here. Verse chapter 55 of Isaiah, verse 1. And I tell you this, you ought to look in these verses. Look at them. Look at them in your Bible. Get in your Bible. Look at them. It'll convince you. And what I find is people that go away from God, they don't look in their Bible. They don't believe that God's able to answer prayer. They don't believe God can do anything. And they just go on their merry way trying to make it happen themselves. And they don't trust the Lord. And that, they're saved. A lot of them saved. They ask the Lord to save them. They say they are. And they go on their merry way and live their life the way they want to live it. And they live a defeated life. And then they end up, you know. Some reason the other day I was looking at, I came across, I was watching the Youth Ablaze. I was watching online. And I watched Kenny Baldwin, different of them preach. And watched the invitation. I was watching all that. And I watched my wife go to the altar. And I went, glory, hallelujah. She's at the altar, getting right. Hallelujah. And but I was watching all that. And then I went off that, and I went back, and then something popped up and said, celebrities that's killed themselves, people that killed themselves, famous people. My Lord, I couldn't believe how all these people that killed themselves. And all these people that had money, you know, because everybody thinks, if I had money, I'd be happy. If I had fame, I'd be happy. If I had this woman, I'd be happy. If I had this man, I'd be happy. If that's where you're looking for your happiness, you ain't going to have it. Because, you know, the Bible says there's pleasure in the sin for a season, for a little time. You might have a little fun for a little while. So I'm watching this. 60 people that's killed themselves. Man, they had money. They had all the women, all the men, fame, everything. And couldn't find a reason to live. I'm looking at all their names and all the pictures of them. I'm going through there. And then something else pops up. 60 more. And then 60 more of people killing themselves. Rich, famous people. Kurt Cobain hung himself, I think. No, he took a gun, shot his head. Shotgun. That guy traveling all over, he was on CNN doing all the cook shows, eating all the food. Hung himself in somewhere in Bangladesh or something. Hung himself. Millionaire. Multi-millionaire. All these people. No hope, no God. Look at this. And you know what? Somebody can be as poor as a church mouse and have peace of God and have the comfort of the Holy Ghost and go on and serve God and be happy. But people that end up doing that stuff to themselves, I find out they're not reading their Bible. They're not talking to God. They're not talking for God. They're not trying to win souls. What's the most valuable thing in all the world? One soul. Why shall a man give an exchange for a soul? What's the most valuable thing? Well, I want to be rich. You can be rich in God. Everybody's seeking their own, not seeking to serve God. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirst, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy, eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore, now we think of wine, we're thinking, you know, going out getting drunk. That ain't what it's talking about. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? You know, every Bible says, every man, you know, you work for your own mouth to feed yourself. You got to work to pay your bills. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. The Bible tells you plainly, but you work to survive, to be able to provide for your family, and thank God for, and you know your job is not the one paying you, it's God paying you. You got to get the attitude, it's him to give me the job. He's the one to pay my bills. He's the one doing all that. And if you do that way, you'll be happy. You'll know, like I had a man one time, he told me, he said, I was witnessing to him, and he was a rich man. He ain't rich no more. He lost everything. He lost it all. This guy was a rich man. And I was working on his boat. He had like two yachts. They were 55 foot each. And I'm working on one of the boats, working on the motors. And I'm witnessing to him. And man, he's irritated as anything. And it's Donnie Griffith's dad. And the guy was rich. He had a house in Lewis, had a house in Florida, had a house over everywhere. And I'm witnessing to him. And he finally got fed up with me. I think it's funny. I really do. I think people can't take it. They just can't take it. And he looks up at me. I'm working on the motor, and he looks up at me. He's got two motors, twin engines in the thing. It was a 30-some foot. He looks up at me, and he blows up. He says, look, preacher, let me tell you something. One thing I can't stand is somebody with politics and religion. Don't talk to me about that. Politics and religion. I leaned over the boat. I said, well, praise God. I don't want to talk about that anyway. I'm going to talk about Jesus. Is that all right with you? He went, yeah, and then he went, oh, God. Politics and religion. I said, I don't want to talk about that either. Praise God. I'm glad you're like that. I said, but you don't mind if I talk about Jesus, D. Oh, man. That was funny. I was back there working on my motor laughing, thinking about it. Anyway, that guy's broke now. He ain't got nothing. Anyway, let's go back to the Bible. We got to quit here in a minute. But verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, for your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me. Eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear. Come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Then look verse 6, great verse in the Bible. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I'm thinking about this old man. I'm in there looking at him, praying with him. His eyes looking at me. He's going, I'm thinking this old man's had every opportunity to get saved all his life. And he probably said, I don't need that religious crap. He probably said a bunch of other things. And I thought about that. You say, were you mad at him? No, no. So can a man get saved on his deathbed? Yes, he can. That shows you how merciful God is. John Calvin taught a man can't get saved on his deathbed. You know how many religions teach a man can't get saved on his deathbed? The Catholic Church goes in and they do a little hocus pocus thing. And they hope, they say they hope he gets in. And he doesn't if he's not saved. I went up here in Smyrna. A lady called me up and asked me to come see her aunt. I went in there. They said the priest just left a little while ago. Gave the last rites. They got a bill for $500. I went in there. The old lady got saved. Her husband right beside her crying got saved. And I said, I was shouting in there. I mean, I was shouting in there. I said, ain't that good? And they were crying. They were saying, yeah, that's good. And she died later, but they said, I said, it didn't cost you a dime, but it cost God everything. Amen. You know, the greatest thing you and I can do is win souls. Amen. Love him, serve him, honor him first. John Calvin, he thought, you know, you're going to go to hell whether you like it or not. You're going to go to heaven whether you like it or not. People have a choice. You make a choice. You have a free will. Take your Bible, look in 1 Peter. When people accuse God of being unjust, I tell them, you don't know what you're talking about. 1 Peter in verse, I just had it. Somebody tell me where it's, 1 Peter, oh man, where is it? 2 Peter, 3:9, yeah, there it is. 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is, 2 Peter 3:8. I was watching one of the Fox commentators, the general, and he was talking about last night. He was on Levin, the Levin show, Life, Liberty, and Levin. And I watched that thing. I watched it Saturday night. And I wanted to see what he had to say. And he said this. He knows about, you know, internal affairs around, you know, the government and all that stuff. And I thought about what the Bible says. When I watch that stuff, I think about the Bible. And he said, you know, well, we got to watch Russia. But he said Russia has a it's how you judge finance of the income of the country. GEP. He said Russia has a GEP of Texas. Texas outdo Russia. And then he said, but Russia's putting all their money in the military. All their money goes in the military. Why? Because of Gog and Magog. You read your Bible, Gog and Magog. You say, what's Gog and Magog? You go all the way back to Genesis, it's Russia. It's the Russian nation. And then I thought about that. I thought about Gog and Magog going to come down. It could be before the rapture. And could be, I know it's going to be in the millennium. And then he's talking about Asia. He said China right now is building their military faster. They got satellites out there. They got a weapon now to knock out other satellites. He said if they knock out our satellites, he said our weapon system's done. He said they got a weapon now that they're working on. They put it in a satellite where they knock out all the other satellites and then knocks out everything. I started thinking about the kings of the East. They started talking about India. India's building their military because they're worried about China. And if you read your Bible, we know, see, what blesses my heart, I'm watching the news, I see all this stuff they're saying that's going to come to pass. And you read your Bible, you know who's going to win. You know how it's going to end up. And you know the kings of the East going to come against Israel. And he said, what about Israel? What about Iran? What about Lebanon? What about, you know, Afghanistan? What about Iraq? What about this? And they're talking all about these different countries. And all that's right in the Bible. And I'm thinking, man, we're closer than we ever was before. And people are more worried about, you know, what's more valuable than all the world? One soul. You got to make a living. You got to pay your bills. I know all that. But you're supposed to keep your heart and mind stayed on him. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. So if you're not calling on God on a daily basis, not seeking God, you're not doing your job. You're not being a good Christian. Amen. We'll stop right there. Father, bless your word. Lord, thank you again for your goodness and your mercy. Help us, Lord God, to love you, honor you, and cherish you in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Take